The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, the Christmas present of patience. I don't know if I want to unwrap that. Also, investing without God doesn't seem like a good idea. Plus, are we like the prodigal brother?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Yeah, politics. Politics is like politics with a pal. That's what I'm going to call it. Politics. I don't know. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. Any topic is open for conversation, praise reports, or prayer requests, whatever works. We're keeping it simple. And just remember, we can talk about it all because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. First, I want to say that if you have ever looked at anything I've done on Facebook at all, then you are going to want to check out a couple of things that I posted 9 months ago. I did a not really prophetic video on the state of our political affairs. It just so happens that 9 months ago when I wrote it, it was the exact same thing that's going on right now. Is that a prophetic gift? Nope. I pretty much know if I walk out in the middle of a street while a truck is going down the middle of the road, I am likely to get hit and hurt. Doesn't take a lot of genius to figure out stuff like that. If you want to check out what my commentary is on that, it is on Facebook. Don't forget David Spoon Media at gmail.com is a way to get a hold of us, plus davidspoonmedia.com is our website, which has links to everything that you want to get to. Let's give acknowledgement to Clint and our sponsor, Mr. Restore.
Here I come to save the day. Yes, sir, when there is a wrong to right, he gets the situation well in hand.
Fire and water damage cleanup, sewage removal, other restoration services in and around the Dallas area, wind recovery, flood recovery, all kinds of recovery, MrRestore.com. That easy. MrRestore.com. Free evaluations, advanced drying technologies, works with all the insurance companies, A-plus rated with the BBB and thousands of happy customers. I talked to Clint. By text today, he's going to try and get in. I don't think he's going to be able to get in this week, but maybe next week, if not the beginning part of the following week. And then the other part of that is we're hoping to get Mo in at the same time from the Adaptive Training Foundation, something that we strongly support and think as is awesome. Let me turn to Wonder Julie. I got a very big, important question about the weather. You know, you're the person I go to for weather. Is that weird or what? Aren't you a weather person? Well, you know the weather.
Traffic.
Though. Okay, traffic. But then traffic is connected to weather, right? I don't know, folks. Leave me alone. It's early. What is it, Wednesday? It must be Wednesday about...
I think it is Wednesday.
It's like 2:04 or something. Anyhow, what do we got going on? Is this supposed to still be cold? Because it was kind of nice today, this afternoon. I just thought I'd ask you because you probably know that stuff.
It's supposed to get, like... Tomorrow, it's going to be sunny and right around 60, but it's going to be almost 40 in the overnight. And then we're supposed to have rain all day on Friday, right around 50 degrees. But it's not going to be as cold as the overnight. It's going to be like 40s. And then Saturday, cloudy with some rain and 53.
You know everything. I should just ask you what the lotto numbers are. How do you just know that stuff? I bet you don't know this. I got a holiday for you. I promise you, you've never heard of.
All right. What
you
is
ready?
It?
All right. The good holiday that everybody's going to like is it's Bake Cookies Day. That's a good one. Bake cookies. Come on. How can that be bad? The second holiday I made up yesterday.
Okay.
It's All Cologne and Perfume Commercials Are Dumb Day. Have you watched these cologne and perfume commercials? They try to be super artistic and they show all these fancy things and then they say the cologne. And it's just like, okay, you know, eau de toilette is what it says on the
thing.
I
like the Johnny Depp one where it says savage, but they go, savage.
Savage. I'm stupid. Anyway, I don't know. The real holidays, though, for those that don't know, is it's Answer Your Phone Like Buddy the Elf Day. Buddy the Elf from Elf, the movie.
Okay. Oh, yes.
Okay. Just, okay.
Santa, I know.
Santa! Anyway, and then it's National Wear a Plunger on Your Head Day.
Okay. Well, that's not.
I mean, I don't know where that comes from. Holiday-wise, or not holiday-wise, but date-wise, I do want to let you know, in 1936, on this day, the first giant panda, Su Lin, arrived in San Francisco from China, creating pandemonium. Get it? Pandemonium, because it's a I didn't even write it. I just thought it was funny. And for those that really do care, on this day also in 1964, the Pink Panther started. Yeah, that's good. Do-do-do-do-do-do.
I liked the music.
Yeah, the music was really good. The cartoon was a little lame.
Yeah.
And then first National Football Playoff game took place today in 1932. That's our big holidays and our big dates and our big things. Okay. Okay. Fun? Okay. It's good to know, I think. All right. I'll give an update tomorrow or the next day on Easton Scott. We just need to keep that in prayer. We are coming strongly together as a family. That's okay. What you got to remember. Let me talk to you about something I read in my devotions that I thought was just absolutely fantastic today as I was going through the book of Acts. Don't freak out for those that heard our show yesterday. It's a little more in the flavor of the Pentecostal than the Baptist, but typically I'm more Baptist than Pentecostal. I'm pretty much a Pentabap or a Bapticost or a mixture between. You know what I am? I'm a Bible-believing, born-again, spirit-filled Christian. Leave me alone.
A babbling penny.
Yeah. I'm a babbling brain. Ask my wife. I'm babbling about something. You know, it doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. That's me. So I'm doing my devotions today. I'm in Acts chapter 2, and I'm going over that part where Peter is telling people why Jesus Christ has raised from the dead, kind of making the connection between the fact that Jesus raised from the dead and that salvation is in Christ. And he quotes Psalm 16. And as I was reading it, I was struck. Not by something that fell from a tree, struck as I was reading the scripture about how powerful that text was. And I think I've missed it quite a bit before, even though I've read it many times. So I just wanted to go over it real quickly. This is Psalm 16, verses 8 through 11. And it's really quite fascinating. It says this, I know, this is King David, and this is what Peter says. Peter says, King David said this about him, referring to Christ. I know the Lord is always with me. Now, I just want you to stop right there because there's a lot of times where we go through stuff and we're not sure where God is. You know, is he visiting Pluto? Is he on the other side of the rings of Saturn? The answer is no, he's always with you. And the conclusion that David draws as he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is this. I know the Lord is always with me, so I will not be shaken because he is right beside me. You know, when you are walking with the Lord and you know that the Lord is with you, you know, and you should know that because that's one of the names that has been given to Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Knowing that the Lord is with you should give you and I the ability to not be shaken by things that we encounter. It doesn't mean that things aren't hard. It doesn't mean that things aren't tough. It doesn't mean that we don't turn to God and say, can you change this or alter this? But you don't lose your faith because things are difficult. You increase your faith or you refine your faith so that faith is active and working in your life. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is at my right beside me. No wonder, this is the next verse, no wonder my heart is filled with joy and my mouth shouts his praises. And so the psalmist David, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying, you know what? No wonder I'm a happy guy. No wonder I'm feeling pretty good, because even though things are tough, even though things are difficult, the Lord is with me. He's by my side. He's helping me, and I can prevail through anything because God is with me. I don't know if you've done the math on this, but God plus one is a majority, just in case you don't know. So the understanding that in your circumstance, God is with you, does that mean that you won't go through tough circumstances? No, that's not what it means. But it does mean that as you go through, the Lord is with you, the Lord strengthens you, the Lord guides you, and ultimately, the Lord delivers you as soon as all is accomplished that he desires to be accomplished. The next verse, after he says, no wonder my heart is filled with joy and my mouth shouts his praise, my body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul along with the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. Watch this. You have shown me the way of life, and you will give me wonderful joy in your presence. People are looking to find happiness in 10,000 things. But the fullness of joy is in the presence of God. And it's a marvelous truth that the closer in you get to the Lord, the less the pullings and the cuts and the bruises and the woundings of the world have their impact on you. The closer in you get, the less powerful the pain really becomes. Because as you draw closer to the Lord, in his presence is this wonderful joy, this fullness of joy. And you think, well, how do you do that when things are tough? With as much courage as you can muster and step by step. When your faith is being tested, when the metal of your faith is at the core, you know what you do? You shine it up. Because you don't have your faith as a convenience. You have your faith as a way of life. And when things are tough, you use that faith. That's what it's for. That shield of faith will protect you from the fiery darts. That shield of faith will protect you from the painful cuts. And that shield of faith will get you through when you feel like there's no other way to get through. His presence, his joy, your blessing. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Gonna take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. You know, it's not just the audience that needs stuff. Sometimes the host needs a little bit of a, you know,
Tell me the show's all about you.
Well, this segment is.
Okay.
I'm talking about the show, but I would say this segment, and it actually has a title for the DDD. It's called Joke Time. Is Christian humor allowed in teaching? We've actually had complaints. You know, you can't teach the gospel and use humor. That's why Jesus called James and John the sons of thunder, because it wasn't a humorous quip. You're right. Pretty bad exegetical process, but let's look at it. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. A joyful heart is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine. You've heard that before. That's not new. You know that's the case. But what happens is people take these unique interpretations in scripture, and they think that it applies to all processes. So somebody actually said to a member at our station, you can't use levity in the gospel proclamation because Paul says you can't do it in 2 Corinthians. And it's like, wrong answer. This is why we do the thing called read. That's always fun. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7 says this, in case you were trying to figure out where that word levity come from. It's only in one translation. It's actually never used in any other capacity. But here is what he was talking about. Was I fickle when I intended to do this? Or when I made my plans, did I make so in a worldly manner in the same breath as to say yes, yes, and no, no? The only time that the potential word levity is used is when Paul is talking about meeting with the Corinthians. And the one interpretation you could use is, was I using lightness? It's not really the word for levity, just in case you're wondering. But did I use lightness when I made my plans with you? In other words, was I kidding around when I made plans to come see you? No. That's what Paul said. Not, you can never use humor. So whoever kind of swapped those two together really needs to like relax. I think that would be the key. And then for those that are just curious, you know, when the gospel talks about, this is kind of one of those classic things, when the gospel talks about making declaration and the foolishness of preaching, the word is moria, from which we get the word silliness. So Paul's like, yeah, preaching the gospel for the Greek people and for the Jewish people in large, it's kind of like a silliness thing. Yeah, that's what he said.
The David Spoon Experience.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to fight. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to, you can reach out to us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. There's a big, huge, enormous jigungai. That's a new word, jigungai. PayPal button up there for donations, and we don't want people to give out of pity. We want them to give out of partnership, because we want 2020 to be a year where we expand our time and our reach. So we hope you want to be a part of that. We would love that to be the case. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, as we got something rolling on there today, and as well on YouTube or any of the other things. We're hoping that the show is a blessing for you. We do the best that we can. I do want to say one thing in regards to humor, because I was listening to that clip. I listened to some of the clips as we come back in on the show, and one of my favorite jokes, just bear with me, see if you can figure this out, is that's as old as when the Dead Sea was still sick. See if you can figure that out. That's as old as when the Dead... What am I, the only person that thinks that funny? All right. Here is our first trivia question of the day, so let's see what people can do with this. It is not your normal, but it is pretty close. What is the second to the last book in the Old Testament? Aha! Thought I was going for the last book or the first book. No, no, no. What is the second to the last book in the Old Testament? If you don't know it, look it up. Just don't Google it. 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. As I have told you before, and we'll tell you again, every once in a while I come across material that comes from people that I think is better than my stuff, that are better than some of the teachings that I come up with. I came up with another one of those, and I want to share it with you, and it has to do with the Christmas present of patience. Doesn't that sound fun? Don't you want to unwrap that? Title says, "And so we wait." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. The author says this, "The danger of our hyper-connected lives sounds like a prescription drug warning. Side effects include the need for instant gratification and loss of all patience." Patience. The believers in the Corinthian church were encouraged and commended for eagerly waiting. But waiting patiently doesn't resonate that great with our culture today. We've grown accustomed to the faster the better. And the demand for the instant everything has crept into virtually every area of our lives. Smartphones eliminate the needs to wait for a ride, a date, a table at your favorite restaurant. We can access news, bank accounts, schools, work accounts, everything is fast and it's in an instant. And we expect things so quickly that we can't wait a few seconds for a movie to load on the internet or to move to the next story on a page. And to be honest, I don't know if you've ever done this or not, but every once in a while, if you're using your internet, using your phone, using your laptop, using your tablet, whatever, maybe you've yelled at it. Like I've yelled at my television, like, work, work. Yet the supernatural and spirit-filled life has always been filled with waiting, longing, and hope. Abraham was given the promise of the Messiah, and his people waited some 2,000 years. Those who didn't recognize him are still waiting. Our generation has already waited nearly 2,000 years for the Messiah's return. We wait for answered prayers. We wait for answers to our why questions. That's the great line right there. We wait for answers to our why questions. And we hope for and anticipate God's blessing. You do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait, the apostle assures us. One of those spiritual gifts is patience. By the way, it's also a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Moments of yearning and waiting with patience help us grow in understanding and appreciation of the ways of the Lord. Patience, in some translations, is called, like I said, Galatians 5:22, fruit of the Spirit. The presents under the tree fill children with an anticipation and a suspense, right? When you're a kid and you got presents under the tree, you're all like, yay! I can't wait, yay! When they're finally opened, the joy explodes at wrapping paper and ribbons being torn asunder and flung into the air, and the joy to the giver and the receiver is taking place. As we grow older, we discover there's even a greater gift in being givers of those gifts. So our Heavenly Father views us the same way. His love to us, he bestows spiritual gifts, makes sure that we lack nothing, blesses us for waiting, and gives us the gift of patience. Watch this by John Ortberg. Biblically, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. Wow! I wish I could write stuff like that. That's so far beyond me. This is David. Uh-oh. What happened? I might have hit something. Did I hit something? Should I try again? Should they call back? I hit something, probably. Did I hit the wrong button?
I don't know. He was there. Oh, here he is.
Okay. All right. I will wait for you to look at me and say, hit the button, Dave.
I just hung up on him. I'm so...
So wonder Julie and Dave are quality assurance phone people. And we've been working on this for years. Okay, here we go.
Okay.
All right, let's see. I hope you're there this time. This is Dave. Who am I talking to?
This is Van.
Hey, how are you, sir? Thank you for your
Excellent.
Patience.
How about yourself?
Excellent. Thank you for your patience in the little phone scenario there.
Yeah, nice and full power.
That's pretty good. All right. Here's the trivia question that we've got up on the table. So I know that you're going to get this. I feel strong about it. And I feel like you probably knew it, or you at least you knew where to look for it in your Bible. What is the second to last book in the Old Testament?
That would be just before Malachi, the Italian prophet.
So you see, okay. So
Zechariah.
That is correct, sir. Hey, you are right. Right, so you know the book right after that's Malachi, but a lot of people don't know it's Zechariah. And I'll tell you something I did, so you can pray for me, because sometimes I need forgiveness for some of these dumb things. But one time I was preaching at a church that I was pastoring, and there's about 250 people, and I got up there and I said, everybody turn to the book of Hezekiah. And you should have seen how many people were flipping through their Bibles. They're flipping.
Yep.
And it's like, no, that's a king in Israel, people.
Well, you know, Malachi is the Italian prophet. Some people call him Malachi.
That's right. That's so good. I love that you call in and give us answers. Did you know this one, or is this one that you had to look up?
I happen to know that one.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Good job. Thank you, my friend. Excellent job. Thank you for participating.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you all.
Okay, you too as well. Merry Christmas. All right, excellent job. We say Merry Christmas around here. We don't have a problem. And by the way, you can say it Merry Christmas. That would be fine too, because you can't have Christmas without Christ. All right, let's go back to this patience element. This one thing this guy John Ortenberg said, I wanted to say it again and make sure that you get what the drift is or where I'm going with this. Biblically, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. As terrible as that is, and yes, I know you don't want to have patience because most of you are not doctors. I get it, but here's the bottom line. Being a fruit of the Spirit, being a process of Christian maturity, it is something that we need to walk in. I've actually talked to a minister. I'm always careful when I say that. And this minister said, well, you should never tell God you want to grow in patience because he'll answer your prayer. And my response is, I'm sorry, don't you want to be more like Jesus? Or is that just a game? So the bottom line is, if you really want to be more like Jesus and God is teaching you patience, instead of yelling at God about it and getting impatient with the trial, we need to embrace it. As somebody in radio once said to me during a process or a project, if you can't get out of it, do everything you can and get into it. It's like, oh, that's a good line. Because sometimes you want to get out of something, it's like, no, that's not the answer. Well, then turn it around and pour everything into it. If the Lord is teaching you patience or it's requiring patience and you're still waiting on some wise and you're still waiting on some I'm trying to figure it out kind of thing, which is nothing wrong with that, just stand firm. Just do your best not to squirm. Okay, not to go, come on, God, come on, come on, God, come on. I know it's impossible to believe, but there was a time where there was no microwave. And actually, there was a time where they had no ovens, the same way that we have ovens. And there was no fast food. And depending on what fast food you go to now, it's not very fast anyway. So it just depends. Here's the bottom line. Have patience. You know that children's song, have patience, have patience. Don't be in such a hurry. If you will have patience, if you don't have patience, you'll only start to worry. No, that's good. That's a good song. That's a good idea. So we need to be patient through the process. And I know I'm the worst. I mean, when I was a kid, they put me on Ritalin because I'd be in second grade. I'd stand up in the middle of the class and just walk out. That was bad. There was problems with me. So I'm terrible. I'm terrible with that. Now, I do want to say, I just saw on the Facebook that our pastor, Ray Bentley, just joined us. And I just did that teaching on his devotional on patience, and he missed it. Ray, you got to rewind. It's all in there. It's really good. So the bottom line to patience is using that patience as a character builder in Christ, knowing that God is working in you and through you to make you reflect Jesus more and more. Don't squirm, stand firm. That's what you got to do. What do we got, like 30 seconds? Here's the bottom line. I know, and you know, there are times that we want God to just do the transporter deal from Star Trek. But the real answer is to trust God that he puts it together exactly how it's got to be put together because he has your best interests in mind. That's what you got to remember when you're dealing with patients. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a short break, then come back. Don't go anywhere. Can't stand the skill, can't
stand the shame. Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
Not wanting to miss a moment, talking about the moment with Kurt Warner.
Everything looks like you shouldn't go forward. You know, you can't take another step. You know, Peter, you can't step onto water. You just can't do it. Well, we've got to step towards that faith, and we've got to trust God that he's got something awesome for us. And there's no question that that's an underlying theme in this show and in all of our lives, is that we've got to step out in faith if we ever want to be what God's called us to be.
The David Spoon Experience.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We do want to let you know if you want to reach the show, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com, plus our website, davidspoonmedia.com. We do have a trivia question coming up. We got so many things going on. I'm just praying that, you know how you do a lot of different things. You got a lot of different irons in the fire. You ever heard that expression? You got all those irons in the fire. You got all that stuff going on. And you're just praying that the Lord will bless it. And we are looking forward to some really cool stuff coming down the road. Here is our trivia question. Now, notice what I say about this. This is pretty important. The question is, James, the brother of John, was the first apostle that we know of that was martyred. Okay, it didn't say he was the first martyr in the church. The first apostle. It was not long right after that it was Peter that was put in jail right after that. But James, the brother of John, was the first apostle martyred that we know of. How was he killed? The Bible tells us that. Somewhere between Acts 10 and 14. I'll give you a narrower scope in a little bit. Let's see if you can just do it from there. Don't Google it. Look it up. How was he killed is the simple question that I'm asking. How was James, the brother of John, the first apostle martyred, how was he killed? That's straightforward. 972-445-0770. I want to tell you about something that's has got nothing to do with you participating and giving with us or giving with your church or anything like that. It's nothing at all about that. I just want to talk to you about a parable that Jesus talked about in Luke chapter 12. So don't make any connections. There are no connections to be made there. Luke chapter 12, verse 16 through 21 says this. He told them a parable. A rich man's land was very productive. He thought to himself, "What should I do? Since I don't have anywhere to store my crops, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones and store all my grain and all my goods there. Then I'll say to myself, 'You have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and enjoy yourself.' But God said to him, 'You fool. This very night your life is demanded of you, and the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' That's how it is with one who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." Wow. I mean, if you could imagine, if you're in the crowd and Jesus is teaching this parable, you're probably like going, "Whoa, that is not a friendly church seeker kind of message, Jesus. That's what the church is, you know, we're seeker friendly. We're seeker friendly. I'm telling you right now, that parable was not seeker friendly. Nothing seeker friendly about it. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is Jesus used parables to teach lessons of importance in life. There are times when we take those parables and we use them. We try to, every nuance of a story, we try to give a meaning to or a symbol to or something. And sometimes there's just a story. And he's just making a point. And the point of this story is there's a rich guy and he's doing good. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with a rich guy who's doing good. Zero, there's nothing wrong with that. It's fantastic. Anybody that can use finances or whatever they have as tools can be a great blessing for the kingdom of God and a great blessing to other people. That's a cool thing. The problem it becomes when we use our assets as trophies and not tools, or as toys and not tools, and that becomes a problem. In the story of the parable, the guy says to himself, what should I do? I don't have anywhere to store my crops. You know what I'll do? I'll build bigger and bigger, and I'll do more and more, and I'll have more, and I'll have more. And then I'll say to myself, good job. I'm just going to eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. This guy, this has to be where S.E. Rykoff got their saying. Eat, drink, and go out more often kind of thing. And it's like, I'm going to take it easy. I'm not going to care. And all of the time that this guy is doing this, as Jesus is illustrating the story, the one thing you get about the guy is he's talking to himself. He's taking care of himself. He's thinking about himself. He's figuring out how his life can be greater. His life can be better. And he's only thinking about him. And it kind of reminds you a little bit of the fish story where the little fish guy got caught up and it was a little Nemo guy. And there was all those kind of birds out there waiting and they're all like going, mine, 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 mine. And it's like, that's a problem. When everything is mine, 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 we got the wrong mindset. Get it? The wrong mindset. There's kind of a joke there. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is when we think of things and we only think of ourselves, we're not doing what it is that God intended. And here's a guy that didn't consider other people and didn't consider God. He didn't seek God's input. That's the problem. So look what Jesus says in the story. You fool, this very night your life is demanded of you. One thing that God has the ability of is call the curtain. Time's up. It's appointed and a man wants to die. Boom, your time right now. People who are anxiously waiting, or not anxiously waiting, shouldn't be anxiously waiting, but waiting for the Lord to return, waiting for a trumpet to blow, waiting for some form of rapture, be it pre, mid, or post. Other people believe that it's going to be a different eschatology. Regardless, they're waiting for the trumpet, waiting for the trumpet, waiting for the trumpet. And regardless of your eschatology, a trumpet precedes the second coming of Christ, no matter what. I got a message for you. There are trumpets blown every day for individual people. And that means the Lord, time's up. And so Jesus tells us this very night, your life is demanded of you. All those things you've prepared, who's going to get that now? And the whole premise is Jesus saying, this guy is rich here on earth, but nothing towards where he's going to be, nothing towards heaven. And in his case, you know, it kind of doesn't look good in the overall. And what he's done is he's put his whole life together based on what he thinks it should be, based on his sight, based on his input alone, not seeking God, not considering others. And that's wrong. What are the first two commandments? Love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. So there has to be an include. Just in the summary that Jesus gave in Matthew 22, there's an understanding that there's a love for God, towards God, and then there's a love for other people, and that's how God designed it. That's how he wants it. And when we live our lives separated from God and ignoring other people, we are the only two general summation commandments cannot be reached. We're blowing it. And you might think, well, Christian will never do that. Well, they'll never say they'll do that. But there's many people that do it. They think, oh, God, I love God. He's great. It's great. I'll let you know what I'm going to give you when I let you know what I'm going to give you. Other people, oh, I just hope it all goes great for you. They don't care. And it's like in that mindset, you gotta change that. God has an accounting appointment for each one of us. I know it's brutal. But what Jesus is trying to say is be wealthy in me. Be wealthy in the kingdom. Lay up treasures for yourself towards God. Do you know when you lay up treasures for yourself towards God? I'm just going to be honest. That doesn't mean that you get the private stock that goes public and you just get to keep it and just dance around with it and just eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. That's not what it means. What it means is you got to be thoughtful of others. You got to have God's input. You need outside stimuli to make it right for the kingdom and to do it right in the kingdom. And what a lot of us do is we just focus on, and I do this too, so don't get this weird idea that I don't understand this. I understand this totally. You know, I'll come, I'll do the show, I'll do a lot of prep. I enjoy the prep because I spend the time with the Lord. I enjoy talking with you guys. I enjoy teaching and sharing. And I enjoy what we call in Yiddish kibitzing. And so we talk, we have fun. I talk to Wonder Julie. I make the drive out here. It's kind of a long drive. I make the drive home. It's a really long drive home, especially with construction. It's horrible. And I do that. And then I start concentrating solely on me. And it's like I want to do a better job of thinking about other people, thinking how I can do a better job ministering, encouraging, strengthening. I want to do that. But I get self-centered quite a bit. And I ask the Lord, hey, help me here, help me here. It's not that you never think of yourself, but it's the people that only think of themselves. That's the problem. And Jesus isn't talking about you going, well, I need to exercise and eat better. I need to do this. I need to do this. I need to do better job stewardship and blah, blah. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the person that wants no input from God and could care less about other people. That's who he's talking about. And it's like, that ain't the place to be. That's not what God wants from us. And God does have an accounting appointment. And you will have to answer to that. Will you not be saved? Because you know. But why don't you want to have something better towards eternity? Why aren't you laying up treasures for heaven? Why don't you want to do that? Are you looking to drive around on a skateboard? Would you rather be, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm trying to give you that motivation to say, yeah, I should lay up some treasures for heaven. Good idea. You know who said that? Jesus. Wowzer. Good idea. Let's think about how we can invest in the kingdom of God, laying up treasures for heaven by getting God's input and by doing things for others. That's part of that process. You want to have that Philippians 2 mindset. This mind being in you, which was in Christ, that it's not just about you. Get it? Okay. All right, we're going to take our break, come back. We're going to get to that trivia question. I'm not going anywhere with that. So you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story, but it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, haha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really. Drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope. Federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave. I got nothing to say.
There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to get a hold of us, you should probably somewhat know by now, but davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. That is one way. Also, our website, davidspoonmedia.com. So that's the whole of the website. I was going to ask the question again, but we may have somebody who's going to be answering it. So I'm holding. Let's see what we have. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Nan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm Mac. I'm having a super like mommy.
Okay, so say that again. I got to say it a little clearer for me.
I'm having a super like mommy, man.
Okay, so he's going for two for. Did you say how he got killed? Do you know how James was killed?
Herring minus sword.
That is correct, sir. Wow, dude, you're on fire. Good job. A lot of people don't realize that. And so one of the great, and you know, you always answer on these questions that are really cool because the next preceding element was Peter was captured and imprisoned, and they were going to execute him. One of the coolest things in Scripture is he's getting ready to be executed, and the Bible says that the night before the angel rescued him, he was sleeping. Most people don't go to sleep when they're about to be executed. He was like, he was good, huh? Good job, my friend. A two for one today.
Peter,
good job.
Peter did not know he was killed yet because when he went to the house, he told Rhoda to go tell James and the brethren that he was out.
Right. That's great. So you are, man, did you look that up or did you know that?
I kind of knew that story because of the jailbreak.
Yeah. That's pretty good, dude. That's you're in our top Jeopardy group.
Uh-oh.
Thank you, brother. Good job. I appreciate it.
Oh, and bless you, man.
All right. Blessings. I love that portion, by the way. That's one of my favorite parts. Who sleeps the night before they're getting executed? You better be pretty secure in your faith. He was. It was Peter. All right. Let's look at this one story. I'm only nitpicking on this, so I'm not doing expository. You know, nitpicking. This was just what all of us Jewish people do. By the way, I was talking to somebody about holiday dinners. Let me ask one: do you guys have holiday dinners? Do you ever like get together and like for Thanksgiving and stuff? Is it ever contentious, or is it ever like, or is it normally just peaceful? It's not that big a deal for you guys.
Usually,
okay. In the Jewish culture, in my household,
yeah,
every night is Thanksgiving. You know, everybody gets together and everybody's yelling. And so every night was like that. In fact, I think the only time we didn't do that was like on Thanksgiving because we did that every night. You came to the table with a hunger and an argument. That's how we,
and everybody's talking over everybody else.
Oh, my gosh. You know, my dad was a mumbler. But he would slam down on the table to make his point. And that would last about, 10 seconds. Then my sister would chime in, and then my brother, and then myself, and then my mom. She was the master. She was like, she won most of the arguments. Of course, she had the food.
Of course.
So that there's a little lean there, I was just going to say. All right. I just thought I'd ask you that. It was just something that came across my mind. Let me talk to you about the prodigal brother. Nobody talks much about the prodigal brother. I mentioned this before. You're thinking, what prodigal brother? Luke 15, 25 through 32. Now his older brother was in the field, and as he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he summoned one of the servants and asked what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fatted calf because he has him back safe and sound. Then the brother became angry and didn't want to go in. So the father came out and pleaded with him. But he replied to his father, look, I have been slaving many years for you. I've never disobeyed your orders, yet you've never given me a young goat so I can celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours comes who devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fatted calf for him. Son, he said, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because your brother, this brother of yours, was dead and he's alive. He was lost and now he's found. So a lot of people hear that story and they think, yeah, that's such a pretty story. It's like, no, it's not. That is not a pretty story. It's awesome that the brother came back. And it's awesome that the father was looking for him on the porch. That's the story. And it's awesome that the father went running to him. And it's awesome that the father put his arms around him. And the son went into his rehearsed speech. And he didn't even get through the speech. And the father's already loving on him and accepting him. All of that's awesome. It's this part of the story that's not awesome. And what I'm going to challenge you is to make sure that you and I are not like prodigal brothers and sisters. You're thinking, well, what does that mean? Well, the one brother got away with a ton of stuff. He went and spent all the money, and he was hanging out with prostitutes, and he partied and did all these wrong things. And when he came to his senses, he realized he needed to go home and get it back. And the father welcomed him back. And it's like, and the brother, who was always faithful, was like going, how could this guy get so blessed when he was such a bad kid? And you can't figure it out, right? Because it doesn't seem right. What is that? That is the brother thinking, I don't want this brother of mine to share at the level I'm sharing. He should at least suffer some. And it's like, that is not how God operates. That might be how you operate, but that is not how God operates. And let me tell you something that a lot of people never talk about. I'm not sure why they don't talk about this. But when they said that the fatted calf was slain, do you know whose fatted calf that was? That was the brother's and the father's fatted calf that had revenue tied to it. And instead of selling that, they killed it and they ate it and they celebrated with it. And so not only did the younger brother return, but that brother also was responsible for them, the father making the decision to kill the fatted calf. So the prodigal brother's like, this guy gets away with everything. He spends all the money. He comes back. They have a big celebration, and I lost money because of him. This is not a happy guy. But the father tried to explain something to the brother. The father said, we had to celebrate because the older brother was missing the priority, and his bad attitude about all the things around him made him miss the party, the celebration. And we can do that. There are people that have done horrible things, and you think, well, they should suffer. I've been a Christian for 30, 40 years, and I've gone through a lot of trials. They should go through it. That is not the economy of God. God's economy is an economy of mercy. It's an economy of grace. And this is not all, we talk about in our country, checks and balances, and that's fantastic. But in the realm of God, mercy prevails against judgment. James chapter 2, verse 13. It's like mercy's in one corner with the gloves on, judgment's in the other corner with the gloves on. They meet in the middle, and mercy lands a KO. And God wants us to be a merciful people. Most specifically, to our brothers and sisters, most specifically to our wayward brothers and sisters who are trying to find a way back. And it's not appropriate for us to go, well, they should go through something, for crying out loud. That's not fair. Life is not fair, and the fact that God lets you live 1 second past your first sin is not fair. So you can just be thankful and appreciative, and I can be thankful and appreciative, and we can all button it a little better and just be a little more thankful and thank the Lord for his graciousness in our lives. He didn't have to save anybody. He chose to save us. So in that mindset, we got to pull it back. You can't be like a, what's the word? You can't be like a grumpy old man. That's a funny movie, but you can't be like that. And you can't be like that towards other brothers and sisters. And so what if they've been through a ton of stuff and they've done a ton of stuff wrong? If they find their way back, you and I should be rejoicing. Because if there's an accountability for their death, if the trumpet blows, at least they won't miss the real party. We should be thankful for that. We should be praying for that for all of them. There's a lot of brothers and sisters been hurt in a lot of different ways in the world. You want them all to come home. We want them all to be a part of the family. There's going to be people that will never get in. They just reject God. They have no desire. But there's people that struggle. You should be praying for those people, not despising them. We should be hoping for those people, not judging them. We should be wanting the mercy of God to be there and the fatted calf to be killed, even if we lose our own revenue here on earth. Because that brother or sister will be there in heaven where the real feast is, where the real party is. That's the right spirit. We need to have a little more right spirit stuff. Get what I'm saying? They're not going to be perfect, but, man, we got to be more merciful. To the merciful, I will show myself merciful. Get it? Okie dokie. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Going to take a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.